And then Rosh Hashanah is, and Yom Kippur and Simchat Torah and Sukkot is when we move. We buy new things. We take on new resolutions. We absorb new holiness. That's what it says in all the holy books. It's like you're going to a fair and you're buying different stuff. We buy subservience to God in Rosh Hashanah. We buy repentance. We buy joy. We buy awakening of the soul. So many things that we buy new, fresh, right? And now it's all in boxes, and that's up to us to unpack.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G,
and I am Rabbi Levi,
and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to the JP Show. We haven't done this for a while, and here we are. We're back. Please God,
We
every
are
week.
back.
Sorry?
We are back.
We are. I don't know. My voice seems to be not the same. So does Rabbi Levi's.
Yeah, this is
How are you feeling, Rabbi Levi?
an annual occurrence after Simchas Torah
Yeah.
that I don't have a voice. So,
So someone asked me yesterday how I'm feeling. So I said, I have a conflict between my body and my soul.
that's right.
My soul is pumping away as strong as ever after the most incredible month. My body is a little bit needs a break. But here we are after an amazing, amazing, incredible month. What do you think?
It was definitely nonstop. It was a very, very emotional month, full of different emotions. Very powerful, very meaningful, very inspiring. It was just an out of this world experience.
Yeah, I found this week, this year, a number of things. I found that, and I think many found that way. I think that, just more people were engaged. Shuls were fuller. People just came to more things. And people really wanted, they wanted to connect. You know, this month, starting from Rosh Hashanah till Simchat Torah, is actually a very powerful month, spiritually speaking. You know, the soul comes alive, but people really felt it this year and just wanted to really be part of something. So whether it was shul or a shiur or an event or whatever the case is, people showed up, which is beautiful. People, beautiful, really beautiful.
So we spoke a lot about this before, but it's interesting to hear sort of now in hindsight, specifically the last 2 days, Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. How did you find that experience? So we were going into it with a little bit of trepidation. We didn't know exactly
We
what
were, I
we
mean, so
were.
we, you know, it was a very careful, nuanced sort of approach. We spoke about it a few times, spoke about it in shul as well. So we did, as people probably know, I mean, we did on the Shmini Atzeret, on the actual day, the Hebrew date where the massacre took place, we did a whole memorial prayer at Vina, as many shuls did, part of Yizkor, and we completed a whole learning program, which we had done in preparation to honor the souls of the people that were that died in that brutal attack. But then also we danced for them, as we explained. Dancing is a mitzvah, and dancing brings blessing. My reflection is that people got it. They really, really got it. A lot of people had questions before and were conflicted what to do, how to do it. And my experience, at least limited experience from what we had at Bina and also what I saw a little bit in other shuls just passing by, people really, really, really got it. It was on everyone's mind. And at the same time, everyone was not going to let the enemy win. We were going to dance even more and dance for those that can't dance or because they're not no longer alive, or because they're captured or unwell, or whatever the case is, and there was a lot of dancing, I think, for them. And all in all, just it was the most incredible, incredible thing. I found also from the beginning of the month. I mean, we, you know, at Bina, we did so many different things with different groups of people. You know, Bina has different streams. You know, the shul that we had, but also the minyan in Vaucluse, the young adult stuff that we did, and stuff in the sukkah for women, for men, for kayemet, for other people, for Bnei Torah. All the young adults, it was actually incredible. I mean, people were just so willing to be part of stuff. I think we worked harder this year than we ever worked.
Definitely.
Pretty relentless, but it was good. It was amazing. It was just so, I'm so uplifted.
And I think, I mean, something extremely inspiring, something that we obviously saw only after Yom Tov, are the videos coming out of Gaza, Lebanon, even the Nova Festival site. I mean, people dancing Hakafot with the Sefer Torah and Am Yisrael Chai, and it's just like, It's a real Jewish response, I think.
It's incredible. I mean, I think I said this yesterday to someone or posted it somewhere. There's a tune that we sing always every year at Bina, called Mipikel. It's a Sephardic tune where we there's like a response and a chorus, whatever people respond, one person says. It's all about like the greatness of God, the greatness of the Torah, greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the greatness of the Jewish people. And this year I think we sang it stronger than ever. But and then I saw this video yesterday, as you did, all the different videos coming out of Hakafot in Gaza, where they had a Torah scroll there and they were doing dancing Hakafot, and in the middle they did the same thing. They sang the same song. So it's like very incredible.
Amazing.
Really incredible.
So what now is the question. Now we're just exhausted. But
So
now we have.
I think what now is the big question. What comes to mind for me is always the analogy. Anyone who's moved, I mean, you moved recently, you know this, right? When you move houses or you buy new things, you buy new furniture and you throw away you throw away the rubbish and then you actually move, and then what's the hardest part? But by far, anyone would agree. I think the hardest part is unpacking. Right? Like when you move, you throw away the stuff you don't need anymore. And then you move. And moving has a certain excitement to it. You're going to somewhere new, you buy new things. I know when you moved, you bought a new barbecue because you have a place to do it. All this stuff, right? And then the hardest part is everyone knows that you don't unpack and you don't start the unpacking process quickly, the stuff remains in the boxes, right?
It's also a little bit like taking down your sukkah. Like if you don't do it quickly, boy.
Yeah, don't rub it in. I know, because I always leave mine for ages. I know, and I know you're very pleased with yourself because you took yours down right away.
Sukkah is down. It's true.
Because you had a sukkah this year, you're very excited. You took it down right away, and then posted on the family chat group.
That's right.
I understand. Okay, I'll get there. I'll get there. I'll do it earlier than most years. Don't worry.
Usually around Hanukkah time, it sits down.
It'll be before Hanukkah this year.
That's right.
But on a spiritual note, I think this is what we're at in the month of Elul. I think we throw away the rubbish. That's what we do from the last year. Reflect what needs to be, what's rubbish, what's good to keep, what's good to leave. And then Rosh Hashanah is, and Yom Kippur and Simchat Torah and Sukkot is when we move. We buy new things. We take on new resolutions. We absorb new holiness. That's what it says in all the holy books. It's like you're going to a fair and you're buying different stuff. We buy subservience to God in Rosh Hashanah. We buy repentance. We buy joy, we buy awakening of the soul. So many things that we buy new, fresh, right? And now it's all in boxes, and that's up to us to unpack. I think that's the challenge, or maybe that's the opportunity, right? I think that's it. I think every person, I think every person listening to this, any person generally, right? I mean, everyone engages in the month a bit differently, but everyone has engaged, whether it's a more meaningful Rosh Hashanah meal, or you heard the shofar. Or you heard an idea about the shofar, or the apple and honey, or something you heard from a sermon on Yom Kippur, or you came to a sukkah, whatever you engaged in, right? Think now you got to unpack. You got to take something from it and say, okay, so what am I going to do? What am I going to do differently now? Even something small. Something to engage more, right? Because now we're coming to just ongoing, pretty boring days. It's a big contrast. This month is full of Jewish festivals, and next month is empty of Jewish festivals.
Okay, in fact, the name is an interesting name, actually. It's called Mar Cheshvan, which actually means like bitter Cheshvan.
Yeah, because it's like
Almost
empty.
like, but not
But
in a
actually, it's a
negative way.
great
That is,
month because actually, it's a test case for us.
it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity saying, okay, he gave you all inspiration. That was all fired up now. Now make it work. Give you a month without any festivals. No major inspiration, but make it work. Do something. Do something to hold on to it.
Obviously, there were a lot of powerful moments. What would you think was the most powerful moment for you this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I think there were a few. Working backwards, I think Simchat Torah Day was incredibly powerful. At Bina, there was something very special going on. It was just such a climax of joy. Like it was just beautiful. It wasn't wild or anything. Just beautiful joy. Like amazing. I think there were a few moments on Yom Kippur that were very special. How about you?
So, I mean, obviously, there's a few. I always say this every year that the last, we say Hallel, special tunes and songs 9 times on Sukkot. That last one, Simchas Torah Day, is always special.
It is.
I don't know actually why. I guess it's the last one. Everyone's into it. It's just very, we're all a little tired from the night before, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's sort of like just, yeah, it's an unbelievable experience. We had an experience this year. I think in general, seeing everyone being more engaged this year was very inspiring. I actually had two such experiences, very, very different experiences, actually. So one of them being between Yom Kippur and Sukkot is always a very busy time. We don't really have like regular shiurim, it's not like our regular schedule's on. And then, we have like this Monday night every week that people come and learn. And I didn't say it was on because I didn't think it would be on. And some people just showed up. It was just like, I didn't even have to drive them crazy. I guess people were just inspired from Yom Kippur. They came and learned, and it was just happening. It was very buzzing.
Might be a problem for you. You might have to retire because you'd be out of a job
You can always drive more people crazy. That's not a problem.
then.
There's only people who didn't come. Then we had an experience. We actually went, we always go every year to the building of the UIA and the Jewish Board Deputies and the Jewish Museum. And we do the Lav u'Etrog with everyone there. And we met a couple there, an elderly couple, that were child Holocaust survivors.
That was amazing.
And the man, when he looked at the lulav, he said, "I know what this is," he told me, but like he couldn't really explain it because, I mean, he had been a child, and since then he wasn't really engaged. Not that we blame him, he just wasn't. And she really didn't know what was going on, and she did the bracha on the lulav and the etrog for the first time in her life, and she was crying, and she was emotional, and it was just an experience of a real, sort of meeting a Jewish soul, which is really what the whole month's about,
Yeah, it's
right?
amazing. I mean, you're saying that you reminded me of another moment, which we had two very, over Sukkot, we had two very beautiful young adult events. Kayem at the Kayem Parabina, which is, people who are not necessarily that involved or that engaged, whatever, on everyone at their own level. And they came, they're very excited to be there. And one of them was a barbecue in your Sukkot, which was absolutely beautiful. Your barbecuing skills are pretty good, by the way.
Not bad, actually. It's an alternative. You know,
Yeah,
talk
it's a
problem
backup.
I having nothing to do. I can
In
always try something
barbecue.
else. That's right.
And there was a guy about 30 years old who also had, for a different reason, obviously, but he didn't have a Jewish education or whatever. And it was he made the bracha on the lulav for the first time. And it was incredible. He was so excited.
Which is an inspiration for us all. And they're excited about it, and then the soul is there. It just needs to be woken up.
Yeah, I think there's lots of things that all of us haven't done. It's the
That's
first.
right.
There's
It's
lots
always
of
the first
firsts.
time for
Exactly.
something. That's right. You can always grow, no matter what age, no matter what stage. We can always try new things. We can always access our soul on a deeper level.
Correct. So it was a powerful month.
Definitely
Those who are
was.
listening, you can tell that we're
We're a bit tired.
a bit tired, but next week we'll be back a lot louder and stronger.
That's right.
But it's not because we're spiritually very strong,
We're
I think.
pumped up. Someone used an expression in Bina that they feel like an overcharged battery.
That's right. He says he feels like an overcharged battery. That's right. That's great. So let's keep going. Lots on in Bina this term.
As always.
So take it with you. Come and join. Come and learn. Come and be inspired.
That's right.
We'll see you next week.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
All the best.